Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, day 1009 of the Donald J. Trump presidency on this Friday edition, October 25, 2019. Boy, not too far away from, just a month away from Thanksgiving, a couple months away from Christmas, if you think about it that way. I want to welcome everyone to the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in the Hagman Report. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for your support to get the news out there, but even more importantly, to become activists, to act. You know, not to act is to acquiesce to the globalist deep state takeover, but to act, of course, well, that's what we do. In addition to report, we also acted decisively. Websites where you can find us, of course. HagmanReportLive.com, that's HagmanReportLive.com, and HagmanReport.com. Big news day, huge news day. Now, one of the things leading off today is this, and this cannot be understated, the importance of this cannot be understated, the ramifications from this, we've been waiting for this. We're not going to find justice in the IG report. Well, where we are going to find justice is what we just heard within the last 24 hours, and that is this. The Attorney General, the Attorney General of the United States is launching a criminal investigation, this review of how Spygate, how this investigation into Donald Trump originated is now officially a criminal investigation. What does that mean? It means a whole lot. All right. Eric and I were talking today about the ramifications from this. This one move, moving it from a process of administrative review, and I tossed in the modifier administrative, because essentially that's what it was. An internal administrative review, but now that it's turned into a criminal probe, now this is a game changer indeed. At the epicenter of this, folks, at the epicenter of this, one John Brennan. If you're wondering who is going to take the fall, here's my review, here's my assessment based on my investigation. It's going to be John Brennan. That's right, the same John Brennan who was Obama's national security advisor back in 2008, the same John Brennan who spent years over in Saudi Arabia, the same John Brennan who has a prayer rug ostensibly in his office, or had a prayer rug in his office while working while director of the CIA. The same John Brennan, of course, who became the head of the CIA under Obama, and the same John Brennan who coordinated with Comey, as well as Clapper, James Comey, James Clapper, the ODNI, and the head of the FBI, to launch a Spygate investigation. Now, I've got some very interesting video. I've scoured, in fact, half the night I was scouring through, and most of today I was scouring through some of the more critically important pieces of video. Some from last night, and some from some time ago, so you don't have to. Now, the second part of this news, the Attorney General of this probe into a criminal investigation. Again, this is no small matter. This cannot be understated. This moves it into the arena where the AG will have subpoena power. And if you don't comply with subpoenas, well, then there is a criminal consequence, as opposed to congressional subpoenas. And you understand, all right? Also, at the same time, the left is pushing this impeachment, this false impeachment, what would you call it? Circus, I suppose. What did we see this past week, this being Friday? We saw a week of just incredible things happen, things that had never happened before, or if they did, it's certainly not in recent history in this country. We saw the Republicans storm the basement downstairs of the Capitol during the Intelligence Committee impeachment hearings. Now, understand this. A normal impeachment takes place with a House vote by the people, by the representatives of the people. So it would be in full view of the public. It would be a very public House vote to begin impeachment proceedings. Witnesses are called. The opposing, much like you're allowed to face your accuser. So you're also allowed to mount a defense. That's not what's happening here. What's happening here is Nancy Pelosi unilaterally decided that impeachment proceedings were warranted, pushed it off to, I'll narrow this down to three committees, three House committees. And think about this. Behind closed doors, to act more like a star chamber. If you want to make any comparisons, perhaps you could make it look like or compare it to a grand jury proceeding. But taking testimony behind closed doors, transcripts, there were only two of all the testimony that was given this week behind closed doors in this farce of an impeachment proceeding. Only two transcripts were actually written out. And they were not really made available to the Republicans to the extent one would normally make a transcript available. No. A copy was printed, and you want to look at the transcript. Well, if you're a Republican, you're going to have to do so under the watchful eye of Adam Schiff or one of the person he might designate. That's what we're seeing. The move to unseat President Trump is so great that they've got two plans right now. I did have a conversation. It was a brief conversation and really nothing new and nothing that any normal person couldn't figure out. But I had a brief conversation with somebody I met in Washington, D.C., who's at the periphery of the President Trump administration. And this is earlier today. And it was a pleasant conversation. And this individual said, look, things are heating up. We're fine, meaning the White House is fine. The staff is fine. The president is fine. Based on I'm relying on the words of somebody at the periphery of the administration, so take it for what it's worth. Certainly not working in the West Wing next to Donald Trump, but from this person's observations, everything is really, really fine. However, the recognition that the impeachment proceedings is more of a, I'll say it, a lynch mob. That's right, a lynch mob. To unseat President Trump, and not just to unseat President Trump, but to unseat Pence as well, for the purpose of installing Pelosi, for the extended purpose of bringing in Hillary Clinton as the legitimate president, as opposed to the illegitimate Donald Trump presidency. That's what they've got planned. That's plan one. Plan two is a little bit more disturbing than that. As if that's not disturbing enough, this is a little bit more disturbing. Plan two is to take the impeachment, or actually the removal of President Trump, to the streets. I don't believe one is mutually exclusive to the other. I believe that we're going to see both taking place at the same time. I believe we're going to see the impeachment process, if that's the coup process right now, fail. However, I'm not so sure about what we're going to see happen in the streets. I'm going to be getting to that in a moment. Perhaps as a consequence of, or maybe independent of, what is taking place on the Democratic side. And I think it would be independent of, in my assessment of things. The Attorney General is now making the investigation into what prompted Russia, the Russia investigation. You know, Dan Bongino talks about the predicate crime. What caused the investigation to be opened? And I'll be getting into that in a second. Looking into that, now it's a criminal investigation. Now, I'm not sure how many people out there, maybe you've been in business and maybe you've been in politics or whatever the case, maybe in law enforcement. I don't know, but if you've ever been informed about, you know, hey, look, there's a criminal investigation being opened, it's a game changer indeed. It changes how you behave if you're the target of this investigation, as would be John Brennan, as would be Clapper, as would be Comey, and there are others, all the way up to Obama, perhaps. Now, that I say Obama, you know, that's more of a pipe dream, I think, than anything else. But the fact is, they're working, they're acknowledging that criminal activity, they're at least acknowledging this took place against a private citizen and against a presidential candidate. Now, needless to say, but I'll say it anyway, that really has the left just absolutely scurrying, and they're looking for a few sacrificial lambs. I'm going to play this. This from Michael Moore. Yes, I know, folks, I know. Look, I watch all of this so you don't have to. And so I take the least objectionable videos. This is about a minute in terms of length, but Michael Moore really has, if you want to know, he knows both the political left in Washington, D.C., and he's also plugged in to what I would view as the radical left on the streets of America, or at least at the operational level. So you've got Michael Moore operating in two different venues, the political D.C. arena and also the streets. So why should we listen to him? Because he's talking to both. And he's one of a number of people who are, but this is a pretty succinct one minute outlay of the objectives. Go ahead and take a listen and watch this.
Michael, a lot of liberals and people on the left, when you say impeach Trump, not a lot, but there's a faction of people, I hear it over the last couple of years. Oh, but impeaching Trump, you end, if he was to be convicted and removed, you get President Mike Pence, who's worse in many ways, the ideologue. Do you share that view?
Pence is caught up in the Ukraine crime, and Pence will go too.
Oh, wow, so you're calling for President Pelosi.
Pence and Trump, well.
That's what happens next, right?
Well, yes. I mean, remember, Agnew went before Nixon. Agnew was Nixon's vice president, but that was about a year before the Watergate impeachment vote. So there may not be enough time, but what the Constitution says has to happen is Pence becomes a president, and then, you know, the next in line is Nancy Pelosi. But he may go with Trump. I think this will probably end up in the courts, or at least at the Supreme Court.
I just want to get a sense of the room here. How you stand on a Trump versus a Pence presidency. I'm just fascinated by a crowd of liberal leftists. Who would prefer a Trump presidency? Would rather he stay and not be impeached and not get Pence? Make some noise. Who would prefer a Pence presidency to a Trump presidency? Make some noise. I just wanted to get a room of lefties to cheer Mike Pence, but there you go.
Yeah, that's you're being set up.
I know.
No, but can I say something about this? About,
it was worth it.
About this point. Is that here's actually what is better about Pence over Trump. Pence has an ideology.
Yeah.
Pence believes in things. Trump has no ideology. He only believes in Donald J. Trump.
All right, that's enough of Dory. Why do I think of Finding Nemo every time I see Michael Moore? All right, now the reason I showed this is because, again, you've got right now taking place right now as I speak, as we're looking at this here late October, There are two things taking place. There's the impeachment process, three committees in secret, in private, headed by Pelosi, operated by Adam Schiff, Judiciary Committee, going and taking testimony behind closed doors in secret, not telling anyone. And all of this is against the will of the, well, all of this is unconstitutional or extra-constitutional, extra-judicial. The other members of the House, hey, they represent all of us, the people. They're not being informed of anything. Or if they are, allowed to read transcripts, those outside of the committee. And members of the House, you've got to be accompanied, either transcript, you've got to be accompanied by the designate by Adam Schiff. All right, so you've got this taking place in the political sphere, in the planet, on the streets. You've got various groups and subgroups that are planning to take over the government by force. Now, that was referenced a little bit, by any means necessary, according to Moore, his Hollywood, as well as DC connections, by any means necessary. On the flip side, on the U.S. Patriot Constitutional Donald Trump side, you've got Attorney General Barr saying, okay, well, you know, independent of whatever's going on here, we know that something went really bad. Remember, Barr just came back from a European trip, Italy and such. And it's because of the intelligence and because of the investigative findings upon his return, he is now turning this review process of the, saying, how did this investigation into Donald Trump begin? How did the FBI begin their investigation? How did this all start? Well, that question is now a criminal question. All right. Some may say, well, that's to fight back. That's in response to the impeachment process, and it's really an illegitimate investigation, illegitimate criminal investigation. Oh, really? Well, wait a second. Wasn't the first investigation, wasn't that illegitimate? And then you've got the left complaining about Bill Barr going overseas and talking with members of other countries. And the left is absolutely Looney Tunes saying, well, wait, that's not legal. That's not right. Well, hold on a second. Didn't our intelligence agents do the same thing on behalf of Obama, on behalf of Hillary and Fusion GPS? Oh, I think they did. All right. So Michael Moore, the reason I played that again is to show you that that's pretty much the intent of the left. Take them out through impeachment, and if that doesn't work, if we can't play normally there, play ball, then we're gonna take it to the streets. And again, I don't think either one are mutually exclusive. I think they're both gonna happen concurrently. Now, I have documentation to suggest the latter. In fact, why don't we play? Do you have that latest video up, Eric? The one I just asked you about earlier? Yeah. All right. Right. This was featured earlier today from Conservative Treehouse. This is John Ratcliffe talking about this, using some interesting, let me just make sure I've got this correct here, interesting terms. And I think you're going to find this very interesting. Because what Ratcliffe is saying is that the Department of Justice was used by the Obama regime, and I think we all know this, but he is one of only four House members who have reviewed every known document, classified and otherwise, surrounding the 2016 political surveillance operation against President Trump and against others in the orbit of President Trump, or even those who touched the campaign of President Trump. Think Roger Stone, think Jerome Corsi, think Manafort and others. You get the idea, correct? Okay. And this also gets into the FISA court, including and especially, and this is where it's really important, John Brennan's two-page electronic communication that began the FBI investigation. So, and I'm going to be touching on this, Elise Stefanik, the House member from upstate New York, I had played this in earlier programs, and you might remember one of these videos from earlier, an earlier program, but she identified a few, well, she identified the early origins of this political investigation, this political hit job, and she addressed this to Comey. She addressed certain questions to Comey. Well, Comey said, well, you know, in fact, when you have an investigation of that magnitude, that is investigating a political candidate, and you have the FBI involved in that, the FBI has to submit that information to what is known as the Gang of Eight. Comey, back in June of, or back in March of 2017, said he did not submit any kind of quarterly updates or any kind of updates to the Gang of Eight, meaning the eight leaders within Congress, because of the sensitivity of the matter. Then he turned around a couple of months ago and lied about it. And he's still lying about it today. As a matter of fact, this past week, Adam Schiff reinforced or attempted to reinforce the lies of James Comey, and it was Stefanik again who called him out. But before I get to that, let me play, or let's play the conversation with John Ratcliffe, Representative John Ratcliffe. And this is also, bear in mind, the IG report. The person I spoke to in Washington says, I wouldn't look for the IG report maybe for a couple of weeks. I could be wrong, but closer to the Thanksgiving Day holiday, perhaps, because of the review process. Now, again, I could be wrong. That individual could be wrong. So, but that's kind of when it's expected. You know, don't expect it for maybe for a couple of weeks. But then again, could be wrong. So, all right, here's the conversation with John Ratcliffe.
Sources confirming to Fox News that the Department of Justice review of the Russia probe, now being led by U.S. Attorney John Durham from Connecticut, is now a criminal investigation. That breaking news coming almost simultaneously as Inspector General Michael Horowitz has revealed his report on possible FISA abuse is nearing completion. What does that all mean? Join us right now with reaction from Dallas Republican Congressman John Ratcliffe. John, good morning to you.
Morning, Steve. Good to be with you.
It's good to have you. You see a direct connection between the lead story that first broke on the New York Times yesterday, that apparently now this is a criminal investigation, with the fact that Mr. Horowitz has announced, my report, which is about as thick as a phone book, is coming out very shortly, and it's essentially going to lay out the roadmap why there is a criminal investigation now.
I do. This is not a coincidence that it's happening at the same time. Inspector General Michael Horowitz's report looks into potential FISA abuse. Steve, you remember that Republicans put out a memo that said that Obama administration officials in the Department of Justice and the FBI appeared to have abused the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act and court to obtain surveillance on Carter Page. Democrats put out a memo saying that's a bunch of nonsense. The FBI and the Department of Justice did everything right, and how dare Republicans malign good people like Peter Strzok and Bruce Orr. And so we're going to find out who was telling the truth. I think that these two things are related, that the work done by Michael Horowitz could result in criminal referrals, even though the report hasn't been released. The referrals could already have been made, but regardless, John Durham had to let Michael Horowitz finish this work, and I think when people read the Inspector General's impending report, it'll be very clear why the Durham investigation has now moved to a criminal probe, which will allow him to impanel a grand jury and bring in witnesses and ultimately perhaps bring criminal charges.
Right, and that could be why, you know, there are reports that apparently a number of these people who think they could be involved in this have hired attorneys.
Lawyered up.
Congressman, not only will it show, whether any laws were broken at the Department of Justice or the FBI or, you know, coroner's cut or anything like that, but it could also show whether or not there was coordination between the agencies or if there was coordination perhaps with the Obama White House.
All of those things are possible, as you know, based on text messages that we've seen and testimony that is there. Look, there's been one inconsistency after another in terms of sworn testimony and documents that have been produced. Just as one example, Fusion GPS founder Glenn Simpson, the person behind the Steele dossier, testified before Congress that he'd never met Bruce Ohr until Thanksgiving after the election. Bruce Ohr told me in sworn testimony that he and Mr. Simpson met in August, months before the election, to talk about right. the dossier. So someone very clearly is not telling the truth. And right. there's a lot of low-hanging fruit there that, that John Durham and Michael Horowitz have been looking at. Again, at the end of the day, I think that those of us that have said that this was not a bunch of nonsense are going to be vindicated in both right. of the reports that are forthcoming.
But Congressman, the New York Times says the criminal investigation raises alarms that the president is using the Department of Justice to go after his enemies.
Well, the Department of Justice was used to go after enemies, but it was in the prior administration. That's what the focus of this is. All of these things, all of these questions began to occur before Donald Trump was ever elected president, when he was candidate Trump. And so the things that we're looking at took place and can be verified before Donald Trump ever put his hand on the Bible and became our president. The fact that we need to look at the origins of this, and someone like Bill Barr, you know, was troubled by the lack of a predicate to investigate Donald Trump as a candidate okay. is really what
So there it is. You get the gist of it now. Okay, so now things are getting real, shall we say. They're getting, you move this into the, again, the criminal arena. Now things can move swiftly. The criminal process is much different than the administrative overview that could take years and has taken years. Now it's going to move more quickly, or has the capability of moving more quickly. And it also has the capability, and I think the ultimate probability, of zeroing in on Brennan, Clapper, at the very least, and perhaps Comey. And remember, now, this is the other thing. Comey, the squirrely as he is, attempting to push the blame on the legitimacy, the authenticity of the Steele dossier onto Brennan, all right, and kind of denying any ownership, urban language use, I suppose, of the word ownership, of the Steele dossier. Now, at the same time, again, this is a heavy news week and very, very good, I believe, for the patriot community and for those interested in really the Constitution and maintaining the Constitution and our constitutional republic. At the very same time, lawyers for Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, Sidney Powell, the just a tremendous lawyer, Sidney Powell, she filed some papers, and as a matter of fact, she claims, and this is critically important because this will expose the ultimate, I mean, wrongdoing like you cannot believe. But she states that Michael Flynn's lawyer, she states that Lisa Page, you know, the lover of Peter Strzok, the illicit concubine of Peter Strzok, FBI agent, versus or with Lisa Page, the DOJ lawyer, that Page altered the FBI interview record to frame Michael Flynn. So Sidney Powell is actually stating in court records and court filings that Lisa Page altered the FBI record in order to frame Michael Flynn. And I'll say this, I don't believe when this is all said and done, I don't believe it'll show, or I believe that this will show that she was not acting outside of orders. In other words, she was ordered to do so. But you've got Sidney Powell who is saying, or who filed a motion yesterday in which it is alleged that the Department of Justice manipulated a document to frame Michael Flynn. And even worse, they're withholding, the Department of Justice has been withholding exculpatory evidence, you know, the Brady material. You might hear this reference to the Brady material. The apparent sealed filing, but according to Breitbart now, is dated yesterday. It was posted to social media last evening, and It is 37 pages in length. The argument here is that the FBI conducted an ambush interview of Flynn in the White House not to discover any evidence of criminal activity, but actually to coax him into making false statements. Now, I'm not going to get into the document, the filing itself, but know this is taking place and know that vindication for Michael Flynn is on the horizon. I truly believe that. Okay, moving on. I mentioned about the magnitude of this, review of how the Russia investigation, how, you know, what started Mueller? What started all of this? How did this even begin? That's now moved into the criminal arena. And yes, I'm repeating myself. Yes, I need to repeat myself. Yes, people, and this needs to be repeated to be reinforced. Here is just a, let's play a couple of minutes from last night from Sean Hannity. If you don't mind, we'll pop that in. Sean Hannity from last night. All right, I'm going to give him a second to cue that up. And then after that, Laura Ingraham, and then the reaction from the left that would include the incredulous mouth open, gaping, guppy look, Rachel Maddow. So here's Sean Hannity. What's that? Oh, yeah, okay. Don't you love how websites are just pummeled with ads, you know, that overlay and such? We don't do that. The Hagman Report does not do that. By the way, HagmanReport.com, HagmanReportLive.com. And when I mention, folks, I see the comments in the YouTube section, well, there are no links in this. Yes, go to HagmanReportLive.com. That's where you'll find the program description and the links, because we're gravitating away from YouTube and we are becoming independent, an independent source of information. So anyway, here's Sean Hannity.
Start with a major Fox News alert. Breaking news, multiple fronts. Just moments ago, the New York Times has in fact reported and confirmed that Barr's Department of Justice have now shifted the probe into the origins of the Russia collusion witch hunt. It is now officially a criminal investigation. This is a major, huge development. Finally, we might get to the truth, as we have been demanding for quite a while. Let me tell you what this means. That means the U.S. attorney, John Durham, who has subpoena power, he has the ability to impanel a grand jury and file criminal charges in this case. This is a major development, literally breaking in the last few minutes. And this means that the suspect criminal activity, clearly the deep state, they are in a state of panic tonight, and it's getting obvious. They're desperately trying to get ahead of this story. And tonight, the deep state, their messengers at the Times, they have every reason to be afraid, every reason to panic, because Barr, the attorney general, is now apparently getting closer to the truth, warranting this big development. And that's not all. Also breaking only moments ago, we learned the inspector general's report on FISA abuse will soon, finally, be released to we, the people, the public, with very few redactions. We have more on these huge developments coming up all throughout the hour. Also, what I'm about to tell you is not a joke. Yes, Hillary Clinton is now apparently considering yet another run for the White House. That's right. You heard me correctly. One longtime Clinton advisor quoted as saying that a third presidential bid is not out of the question.
You can, and that is former boss. It's a good, the program itself was pretty good. And he goes on. In fact, you can find that at foxnews.com or Fox, or whatever the Fox website is. The deep state is in a panic. Now, I think that video clip was like 5.5 minutes long, roughly. And again, you can find that at foxnews.com. All right. Laura Ingraham had some things to say about this as well. And she was a little bit more honed in on certain factors and facts and such. I'd like to play that when we have that ready. Just give me a yell when it's ready. We're good? All right. Let's play Laura Ingraham from last night.
Into the origins of the Russia probe is now a criminal investigation. The New York Times reporting the news with this subhead, though. Here it is. The move is likely to open the attorney general to accusations that he is trying to deliver a political victory for President Trump. Ed, this is unbelievable. They are trying to pin this. John Durham, with impeccable background, not a political bone in his body, as revenge and not a legitimate investigation by Durham. Figure. So heads you win, tails I lose.
Yeah, it might be another example of just kind of letting opinion get ahead of facts. Why not let John Durham actually get the facts and figure out the roots of the Russia probe, as you were just debating back and forth with Richard and Matt? The bottom line is, Fox has two sources tonight familiar with this investigation, confirming that New York Times report that that man, John Durham there, a U.S. attorney from Connecticut, now has opened a criminal investigation. This started as a broad probe. He didn't actually have a grand jury. He didn't have subpoenas, all the rest. Now he does. This is a formal criminal probe, we're told. And so there are going to be a lot of former Obama officials who are going to be under the microscope in terms of their behavior, the FISA warrants, and all the rest you've been talking about tonight, Laura.
All right, you can cut that off. We've got a lot to go through. That's good to look at as well. Laura Ingraham talking with Ed Henry, being very more or much more precise on the reaction by the left and the accusations by the left. Now, the reason I'm making a big deal of this, because you might say, well, who cares what the left thinks? The left is feeding the revolutionaries, in dreaded air quotes, on the streets, and I'll be getting to that in a moment. But here, since I played the Fox News snippets, here's Rachel Maddow's assessment, her take, MSNBC's take on this whole thing, which is reflective, because remember, she spent over a year, pushing the Donald Trump collusion fictitious narrative. And anything else, it's either a lie or a conspiracy theory. Here's Rachel Maddow from last night countering, of course, the New York, evolution from a review into a criminal investigation. Here she is.
Tonight with some breaking news that has just come in from the New York Times. This is the news that honestly we've been sort of expecting for some time, or thinking that if things got really bad, it might come to this. As of tonight, according to the New York Times, it has come to this. As you can see, this is the headline just posted at the Times. Justice Department is said to open criminal inquiry into its own Russia investigation. And I'll quote to you from the article, again, this just posted tonight. Quote, President Trump has repeatedly attacked the Russia investigation, portraying it as a hoax and illegal, even months after the special counsel closed it. Now, Mr. Trump's own Justice Department has opened a criminal investigation into how it all began. So this is about the review that Trump's Attorney General William Barr has been overseeing and has been very personally involved in for the last few months. He technically assigned the U.S. Attorney in Connecticut, John Durham, to oversee this. But William Barr himself, the Attorney General, has apparently been an investigator in this probe and has been overseeing it and has been personally involved in it. It's involved William Barr hopping around the globe searching for evidence a right-wing conspiracy theory that the real scandal of the 2016 campaign was not that Russia intervened in our election, that Russia attacked our election with the goal of helping Donald Trump win that campaign. No, according to this conspiracy theory, Russia didn't do that. Russia didn't intervene. What actually happened is that it was the Obama administration that was setting this all up as a frame job. They were colluding with foreign countries to set up Russia, to make it look like Russia was interfering, to set up the Trump campaign, to make it look like they were getting help from Russia.
Okay, but you can cut it off there. You can cut off there. All right, so not quite. You almost got it there, Rachel. Why, you know, Eric the Tech, why when I look at her, why do I see a bag with the words springtime fresh on it? It just reminds me of that. I don't know. Don't tell me that. I don't know. Anyway. So she's saying, well, wait a minute. They're turning the narrative. You see that reaction. And you may say, well, why should I care about this? Because I don't watch this. Yes, but others do. Not that many, admittedly, but others still do. But that is the official state narrative, or the narrative of the deep state, that all of this is in response and retaliation. They're projecting, meaning us. We are projecting onto the good guys, the Obama people, what we actually did. We're blaming them for what we actually did. That's what she's saying. And again, it's nothing new, but there it is. Now, the I want to say something about the IG report. The, as you heard, I believe it was in the, I think in the hand of the clip, the IG report is coming and it's going to be largely unredacted. I wouldn't look for this for a couple of weeks, probably closer to Thanksgiving. Again, I could be wrong, but and why is this important? Because the IG report, as you heard, is could very well serve as a roadmap or at least an index for the criminal probe that's coming up. All right. Everyone got it now? Oh, and at the epicenter of this, John Brennan. Hold that thought for John Brennan for a minute. He's over here. But on the ground as political operatives, go back to this investigation was not open when, against into Donald Trump was not open when people think it was open, you know, in the midsummer 2016. No. It was much earlier. And we can trace it back to one individual, I believe, is key in this, and I think we will find is key, is Joseph Mifsud. This Maltese professor, Joseph Mifsud, who met with George Papadopoulos. Remember that? Remember the name Joseph Mifsud. Now, what we can do, let me see, do I have it here? All right. I do. The CNN video. In response to all of this, CNN, you saw Hannity, you saw Ingram, and then you saw Rachel Maddow. But in response to all of this, there was a really kind of an interesting, very interesting piece of video yesterday. Anderson Cooper with Jeffrey Toobin and Clapper. I don't know how many people saw this, but this is going to be one for the ages. This is where they discuss the making this into the review into an actual full-blown criminal inquiry, but this is also where the name Joseph Mifsud is mentioned. But do you want to know what's funny? Suddenly, no one knows how to pronounce his name. They forget how to pronounce his name. What was it again? Mifsud, consciousness of guilt. Whenever you're ready, go ahead and play it.
CNN's Evan Perez reports that Attorney General William Barr's probe into the origins of the 2016 Russia investigation has now expanded into a criminal probe, according to a person familiar with the matter. The New York Times first reported this just earlier tonight. Here's a key passage from the New York Times, quoting, "The move gives the prosecutor running it, John H. Durham, the power to subpoena witness testimony and documents to impanel a grand jury and to file criminal charges." Jeff, explain why this is significant.
Well, as you quoted, once there's a criminal investigation, prosecutors have criminal process. They can get search warrants. They can get grand jury subpoenas. They can bring people to a grand jury.
Yep.
You know, it ratchets up the pressure on the people who are the subjects of the investigation. It's important to point out that just because there is a criminal investigation doesn't mean any crime occurred, much less that specific people committed a crime. But for the people who have been the targets of what seems like a right-wing conspiracy theory, you know, led by Sean Hannity and Donald Trump, it's got to be an unnerving experience to know that this is now ratcheted up to that level.
And for those who believe that the Justice Department and Attorney General Barr in particular is essentially, you know, being a henchman for President Trump, this will only reinforce that idea.
I mean, when you consider all the legal issues facing the United States of America, the Attorney General has traveled to Italy and other places around the world on this,
like that's a bad thing.
Seems to me wild goose chase,
yeah,
is really remarkable, but it shows how much this obsession showing that the Russia investigation was somehow illegitimate in its inception has been a guiding principle of this Justice Department.
Director Clapper, as the man who
now,
was there and oversaw the launch of the Russia investigation,
this exchange.
What do you make of this?
Well, actually, I'm very curious since presumably I guess I'm one of those under investigation.
Yep.
And
and you just heard about this?
Yes, I just read the clip on about 20 minutes ago.
Well, feed me nails and call me rusty. I didn't know this.
Interesting, given the increasing heat around the impeachment inquiry. And so the timing's interesting. I'll just let it go at that. And the other thing I wonder about is whether we're talking about the overall investigation of the Russian, reporting on the Russian interference, or are we talking about the counterintelligence investigation that was launched in July by the FBI about potential engagement and collusion, whatever you want to call it, between the Russians and the Trump campaign. So what is the alleged criminal activity that prompted this?
Do you have any idea what they might think may rise to the level of a criminal offense?
No, I don't.
No, I don't have a clue.
Obviously, an item of great interest to me. What is it that any of us did that would rise to the level of a criminal infraction? Well, and I just don't know.
I can tell you what the theory has been.
Do tell.
Is that there is this Ms. Food character who works in a university in Italy. And the theory has been that somehow the deep state, people in the CIA, planted with him the idea that the Russians were helping Trump. Ms. Food told it to various campaign officials, George Papadopoulos among
Say his
others.
Name again.
It got back to the FBI, and that's what launched the investigation. So the claim is that the deep state started this investigation. There's no evidence, as far as I'm aware, to support that hypothesis. It is at this point just a right-wing fantasy. But that I think is the core allegation.
Mifsud, I believe.
Mifsud.
To what Jeffrey just said, I just make the point that that had absolutely nothing to do with the intelligence community assessment that was done in January of 2017 and briefed to President-elect Trump and his team at Trump Tower on January 6th. Those are, again, separate things. And that is a really far-fetched theory, in my view, that somehow MISFID was set up by the FBI to create this conspiracy that, he was trying to generate.
Okay. You can cut it off there in the interest of time. Folks, you can find that. In fact, I'll put a link to that in the Hagman Report live program description box, very simply. All right. But see, here is the takeaway from this. I find it very humorous, as did Sundance from CTH, that, hey, you know what? It's Mifsud. No, it's Mifsud. You've been pronouncing his name properly the entire time during this coup against President Trump, and now you're having trouble with the name. Come on, they might believe it if I did that, but not you guys. All right, but see, no one has any. For example, Jeffrey Tobin, no idea of the background of Joseph Mifsud. Wait, you've been talking about it all. You've been talking about it for 18 months. You've been talking about it for 2 years, really. And when Durham and Barr go to other countries to investigate potential criminality, it's horrible. It's a horrible example of an abuse of power. But yet, when Andrew Weissman and Mueller investigated the Trump-Russia connection, the dossier and all of that, went to other countries, it was laudable. It was admirable. It was competent. It was the right thing to do. Okay. The entire thing is quite humorous, I think, if you look at it. In terms of the media, humorous is not the right descriptive. I think what we're seeing now is the deep state, which Hey, is that the mere mention of the deep state? I'm being schooled, obviously, as a litigant and myself in a legal suit. How dare I believe in the deep state? You know, who people like me believe that there's a deep state? I read these things and I told my wife, I said, if I knew how to quit, I'd quit. Sometimes I feel like it. Not because of that, just because of, it's amazing. It really is. It's amazing how, what people will believe and some people will believe and so what others won't. Let me jump to this real quick because I've got to hurry. Remember I mentioned James Comey, you know, Boy Scout, choir boy, James Comey. Representative Elise Stefanik, House member for upstate New York, conducted a line of questioning of James Comey. And then, this is back some time ago, and then conducted some questioning or some discussion with Adam Schiff about James Comey's testimony. So let's play cut one of the two Stefanik clips, the 136 cut.
Thank you, Chairwoman Cheney. Elise Stefanik, I represent New York's 21st Congressional District. I'm in my third term. This is my second term on Intelligence Committee. I wanted to echo what Liz mentioned. This has been a closed door, unfair, and unprecedented process. Tens of millions of Americans should know that their member of Congress has had no access to any of the transcripts. In fact, no member has been able to read every transcript. And let me tell
you
why.
This is about impeachment. I apologize.
There have only been two transcripts that have made available to Intelligence Committee members. The first is Kurt Volker's. The second is Ambassador Yovanovitch's. We were notified this week at our staff level that they would only be printing one transcript for every single member, whether you're on the committee or not, and you would have to read it with a member of Democratic staff. That is unprecedented and unfair. Again, this is coming from I sit on the Intelligence Committee. I strongly believe that every member of Congress should have access to every single transcript because the question begs, how are these members talking about this in their district? How are they so sure the Democratic support of impeachment when they don't have access to the very evidence in this closed process? And I also believe that every transcript should be released to the American public. We continue to see press reports of cherry-picked excerpts or portions from transcripts. That's breaking the rules, but I believe that this should be transparent. It's not a political game. This is a very, very serious process, and Chairman Schiff is unfit to chair the Intelligence Committee, and these are many of the process reasons why.
And those are pretty strong words. He's unfit to chair the Intelligence Committee and unfit to handle this faux impeachment anyway, which that doesn't belong inside or behind the closed door, behind the closed committee doors. But that was Stefanik about the impeachment. I should have played that earlier. My apologies. What I meant to have played is this one. This combines two clips, two different clips, one from June 12th of 2019, and then after that, a prior clip from 2017, March 21st, 2017. Let's roll these clips here. This is about Comey, what I was talking about with respect to the process, the criminal, potential criminal allegations, or the criminal allegations. Comey and Brennan, go ahead.
It was clear in the open hearing that Director Comey testified that he chose not to brief the Gang of Eight on the opening of the counterintelligence investigations. This has been widely reported. This was an open hearing, and we've worked across the aisle on language to be included in the Intel Authorization Act to ensure that any counterintelligence investigation into presidential campaign is briefed. So I hope you would agree, based upon the testimony of Director Comey, that he circumvented the process. And in our oversight capacity, I agree with you. We need to have an update to make sure that they're following those procedures. But I think we need to strengthen not just the typical way
Adam
of doing
Schiff,
things, but put it in law so that they are required to brief us.
Mr. Stefanik, I would only say that that was not his testimony, that the first time that he was briefing the counterintelligence investigation to us was contemporaneous with his disclosing it to the public.
I did not say that in my statement. Will the gentleman yield? I said days before. So in March of 2017.
And the representative is not accurate. And,
okay.
But I cannot go into timeline. But
you're not accurate, Elise.
I hope the members of the public would go back to Director Comey's testimony and follow the facts and just look at his direct testimony to this committee, which stated that he did not follow the proper protocols and procedures of briefing congressional leadership on the opening of the counterintelligence investigation. And I yield back.
And let's do that, shall we? Flashback to March 2017. When James Comey admitted to Stefanik that he circumvented
the open investigation began in July, and the briefing of congressional leadership only occurred recently. Why was there no notification prior to the past month?
I think our decision was it was a matter of such sensitivity that we wouldn't include it in the quarterly briefings.
So when you state our decision, is that your decision? Is that usually your decision what gets briefed in those quarterly updates?
No, it's usually the decision of the head of our counterintelligence division.
And just, again, to get the detailed on the
Weissman?
Record, the decision made not to brief senior congressional leadership until recently when the investigation had been open since July, a very serious investigation? Why was that decision made to wait months?
Because of the sensitivity of the matter.
And there it is. So what Adam Schiff accused or stated, Adam Schiff, stated the representative, Elise Stefanik, you're wrong. Stefanik said, hope Americans go back and listen to James Comey's testimony. There was his testimony. Was she wrong? No. Adam Schiff was. Was that deliberate? Yes, it was a deliberate deception or deceptively stated. So that kind of concludes the news of the week. You don't think things are happening, popping behind the scenes? They certainly are. There's a resolution as well regarding the impeachment. I'll post a link. It's in a PDF format where you've got a number of, there it is right there. Thank you, Eric the Tech. It's a Senate resolution. There's 46 signers so far to this resolution condemning the way this impeachment is being handled, this impeachment inquiry. And if you want, essentially saying you want impeachment, do it right, but this is not the right way to do it. And the big part that I didn't get into, and I might address this separately at some point, just watch HagmanReport.com or even, I might even do this for a closed setting for the Patreon supporters, because I should do this. The taking it to the streets is taking place and will take place. There was recently Refuse Fascism had come out with a couple of pretty nasty statements saying, you know what, we are going to, in spite of impeachment or concurrent with impeachment, we're going to take to the streets and we're going to demand President Trump's removal, Pence's removal, going back to what Michael Moore said, and we're not going to leave until we get these fascists out of the White House. We're not going to leave until we get our way. That's the group Refuse Fascism. Refuse Fascism was established right after the 2016 election. Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton. The creators, and this is extremely important, the creators of this organization, the organization you see out there, you know, refusefascism.org, the signs and everything, the people handing out the signs, the people giving the instructions, who are they? The main group, the operational group, is Refuse Fascism. Well, the creators were Revolutionary Communist Party members Carl Dix, Sansara Taylor, and Andy Z-E-E. The latter, of course, is a spokesperson for the Manhattan-based Revolution Books books shop managed by, look, Refuse Fascism was established shortly after 2016, again. The Revolutionary Communist Party members, Did I mention Carl Dix? Since R. Taylor. And, well, the bookshop is managed by the Marxist activist C. Clark Kissinger. One of the other founders of Refuse Fascism was none other than Cornel West. If you go to refusefascism.org, you can see their various videos and audios of their activities, including some interesting videos by Cornel West. But they laid out their ideological platform back in December of 2016, right after the election, but before the inauguration. And they created their manifesto, which is titled, "In the Name of Humanity, We Refuse to Accept a Fascist America." What their claim is, their manifesto is based upon, and what their statement is that President Trump is an illegitimately elected fascist. And they declared that in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept any a fascist America and anything. We refuse to accept this. Their big thing was Donald Trump reportedly lost the popular vote by 2.5 million votes. And they have taken on the Electoral College, the concept of the Electoral College, and said that the Electoral College was outdated and a useless product and legacy of slavery. Okay. By the fact that the Republican Party representatives and operatives have over the years systematically suppressed the votes of Black and Latinos and poor people by means of voter ID requirements. What a mess. But watch this, because Refuse Fascism, they are combining other groups, including Black Lives Matter and some other violent leftist groups, and they are pushing. In fact, one of the things that this Andy Z said was on the eve of the, or I believe it was attributed to Andy Z. If not, it was on their website, if you go through their website. On the eve of the vote for impeachment, they were urging for mass demonstrations and such. So the fiscal sponsor among their fiscal sponsors is the Alliance for Global Justice. And I would urge everyone to take a look at who the backers for that are. You're going to find a lot of, at least self-described in some cases, and obvious communist socialist individuals here in this country, members of academia, members of politics, as well as members of the entertainment industry. I've got so much more to get into, but before, or instead of me doing it, I'm going to leave it right there. Know that things are going to be breaking this weekend, throughout the week. Watch the Sunday morning shows, I would suggest. Watch the Hagman Report as well. I hope to be breaking some other news this weekend. And come back on Monday for a full show with better, with more explanations about this, as well as the origins of Spygate, but something else too I really want to get into near and dear to my heart, and that's the real issue, the trial that's being held in California against David Dalyden for the Center for Medical Progress, and really the miscarriage of justice that's taking place out in California, because you're going to see this take place all over the country in the future. That'll do it for me. Until tomorrow, may God bless you. Thanks for joining me. Until tomorrow, stay safe. God bless.